O pijana bala bagiri banudari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanudare Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Manachari Jamuna Tera Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Manodare Yasura Nandanam Braja Jana Randanam Jamuna Tera Vanachari Vajjaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vanadari Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Vanachari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam.
Nitya Lila Purista Astatara Sata C. Simon is Divine Grace A. C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Premsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Sri Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Sham Sunda Gopa Gopina Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govaran Ki Jai Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today on this cold, chilly Wednesday morning, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 5th chapter, 10th verse, which will warm our hearts immeasurably. Param varesham bhagavan vartani shutani me vyasa mukhat abhiksham Atrip Numa Shula Shukavahanam Tesham Rite Krishna Katam Rita God Paravesharam Bhagavan Vartani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukhada Bhikshnam Atrip Numa Shula Shukavahanam Tesham Rite Krishna Katam Rita Gat Note, whoever has parked their black Toyota next to the dumpster, it might get dumped. So we need you to go move it immediately. There's a delivery coming for the kitchen and it is in the way. So if you have a black Toyota sitting out here in the back parking lot, it may not be there when you get finished in class. Thank you very much. Higher. Avarisham of the lower. Bhagavan. O my Lord, O great one. Vratani. Occupations. Shutani. Heard. Me. By me. Vyasa. Vyasa. Mukat. From the mouth. Abhikshnam. Repeatedly. Atripnuma. I am satisfied. Shula. Little. Sukha avahanam. That which causes happiness. Tesham. Out of that. Vrite. Without. Krishnakata. Talks about the personality of Godhead Lord Krishna. Amrita Ogat, from the nectar. Just a side note before I go to the translation. In this word for word, it's very interesting. I didn't catch this when I was looking at this verse. The word vratani, vrata, means to take a vow. It's translated here as occupation. So when one has an occupation, a responsibility for providing for society, family, home, whatever, it becomes a vrata. It becomes something they dedicate themselves to doing, not a burden. Oh, I'm going to go to work. No, but one sees it in connection to Krishna, therefore it's an accepted vrata. Just a little note there. Translation. Oh, my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I am quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Excuse me. Because people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled many books, such as the Puranas and the Mahabharata. These books are reading matter for the mass of people, and they are compiled with a view to reviving their God consciousness, now forgotten in the conditioned life of material existence. The real purpose of such literatures is not so much to present topics of historical references, but to revive the people's sense of God conscious. For example, Mahabharata is the history of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and common people read it because it is full of topics regarding the social, political, and economic problems of human society. But factually, the most important part of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita, which is automatically taught to the readers along with the historical narrations of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Vidura explained to Maitreya his position of being fully satiated with the knowledge of mundane social and political topics and having no more interest in them. He was anxious to hear transcendental topics regarding Lord Sri Krishna. Because there were insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna in the Puranas, Mahabharata, etc., he was not satisfied and wanted to know more about Krishna. Krishna Katha, our topics regarding Krishna, are transcendental, and there is no satiation in hearing such topics. Bhagavad Gita is important on account of its being Krishna Katha, or speeches delivered by Lord Krishna. The story of the Battle of Kurukshetra may be interesting for the mass of people, but to a person like Vidura, who is highly advanced in devotional service, only Krishna Katha and that which is dovetailed with Krishna Katha is interesting. Vidura wanted to hear of everything from Maitreya, and so he inquired from him. But he desired that all the topics be in relationship to Krishna. A fire is never satisfied in its consumption of firewood, so a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. Historical events and other narrations concerning social and political incidents all become transcendental as soon as they are in relationship with Krishna. That is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities are dovetailed with Krishna Katha. There are two important Krishna Kathas current in the world, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha because it is spoken by Krishna, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha because it narrates about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. Om Jnana Tamadam Dasya Janan Jana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yanatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panagumlam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarino Vancha Kopatiri Vischa Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasidhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, My only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Such a wonderful, absolutely wonderful verse in purport by Srila Prabhupada here. Reading this purport should help us to understand how transcendentally and incredibly blessed we are and how fortunate we are to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, either directly, as for some of us, or through his teachings or his devoted representatives for others. This is the path by which one advances out of the material conditions described in this purport, is hearing the message from the lips of a pure devotee. From the lips of a pure devotee means either directly or through reading it. It's the same thing, Prabhupada's presentation. So we should eagerly embrace these opportunities, such as Srimad Bhagavatam class, or reading while we're taking breakfast in the morning, or hearing stories with the family in the evening, whatever it is. We should embrace these opportunities because these are the ways by which we can, as Prabhupada says here, transcendentalize ourselves. This verse has a lot of information, and his purport has even more, and I'll make an attempt to unpack some of these meanings. First of all, we're instructed in one direct and one subtle point. The direct point is simply this. Topics of the ordinary world, or as we say, the mundane world, do not give us sukha avahanam. Sukha avahanam means they do not give us any cause for happiness. There's no happiness there. It's just not there. Maybe some little fleeting happiness. You know, when you reach up and you touch the pot on the stove, it's too hot, and you immediately pull back in pain. You put it on an ice cube or under the cold water. There's a little fleeting happiness. Oh. But you're not really getting happiness. You're just not burning your hand. So how's that happiness? Just not burning your hand? No. So the material world cannot provide that. Sukha avahanam. Happiness. This is what we're seeking. Now, many persons in this world will argue and debate this point with us. Sadly, even some of those on the path of transcendence will take exception to this point. No, my dear sir. I'm very happy talking about the current political events going on. No. I'm very happy hearing about the current Hollywood award season coming up. Oh, no. I'm very happy to fill my ears with the love songs by the most current popular artist. All of these different types of, you know, excuses. No, this is very good. I'm enjoying this very much. But, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Verse 20, and I will warn you ahead of time, Srimad Bhagavatam speaks very strongly here. Bile bhokta kurmama vivikramanye na shrinvata karna pute narasya jivasati durarike vasasutta na chopagayat Urugayagata. Urugayagata, very important. One who has not listened, one who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord is to consider to possess ear holes. How many of you have ear holes? No? None of you are that? You know your kids have ear holes? I guess not, since you haven't raised your hand. Oh, okay. Is considered to possess ear holes like the ear holes of a snake or a tongue. Who has a tongue? Everybody got a tongue? You don't have to show it to me. That's okay. Or a tongue like the tongue of a frog. So, very strong words there. Ear holes, like the ear holes of a snake. ear holes on a snake don't do anything. They're basically insufficient. And the tongue of a frog, what does it do? It simply makes some sound. Not anything very elevating. Now, in the last purport to this verse in the second canto, Prabhupada expands on this. In the impure state of a living being, how many are living beings here? All the living beings here, raise your hands. Yeah, okay, all right. In the impure state of a living being, the various senses are fully engaged in mundane topics, looking at things mundane, hearing things mundane, speaking about things mundane. If the ear is not engaged in the service of the Lord by hearing about him from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, just like Prabhupada says in today's purport, certainly the holes of the ear will be filled with rubbish. I just love how Prabhupada so easily dismisses all of these other things with one word, rubbish. Therefore, the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam should be preached all over the world very loudly. That is the duty of a pure devotee who has actually heard from them, heard them from the perfect sources. Many want to speak subjects of other things. But because they are not trained to speak on the subject matter of Vedic wisdom, they are all speaking nonsense, and people are receiving them with no sense. There are hundreds and thousands of sources for distributing mundane news of the world, and people of the world are receiving it. Similarly, the people of the world should be taught to hear the transcendental topics of the Lord, and the devotee of the Lord must speak loudly so that they can hear those topics. The frogs very loudly croak, but the result is that they invite the snakes to locate them and eat them. The human tongue is especially given for chanting the Vedic hymns and not for croaking like frogs. Now some of you, none of you sitting in front of me here, but some of you that have been in this community for a very long time will remember that there used to be an old building down here about almost the end of the property. It's had many different incarnations in its time that it was there. You know, residence for this one and that one, a Gurukula, a home for this one and that one. But right behind it, there used to be a lake. And that lake, I think, is long dried up. Actually, we used to put the little deities on a boat and take them out in that lake. That's how much water used to be in that lake. How many of you have been here for that? No, I think maybe one or two of you. Yeah. So at that time, in the evening, I had the opportunity to stay in that house visiting a couple of times. At that time in the evening, the sound of the frogs, and I say frogs with a capital S because there were hundreds of them, in that water croaking was so annoying. You could barely sleep. I mean, it wasn't like a frog. You know, maybe sometimes you get a cricket in the room and it's a little noise in the corner. This was hundreds of frogs croaking in unison so loudly. And it was not appreciated. So Prabhupada here is referring to all this mundane conversation we have to be like this croaking of the frogs. So why, we can ask, are these things not suitable for those persons on the path of transcendence? Now, whether you identify yourself that way or not, any of you sitting here in this room, you're on the path of transcendence. Because we're making an endeavor to raise our consciousness to the transcendental platform by sadhusanga, by hearing, by Krishna Katha, by kirtan, all of these different things. So the point is made to us right here why these things are not suitable for those of us on that transcendental path. Because they are shula atripnuma. They do very little to satiate our desire to hear. Everybody has a desire to hear. If we're sitting over here by ourselves and there's three or four friends over there talking, we want to go hear what they're saying. You know, especially if they're turning and looking at us, we really want to go hear what they're saying. So, you know, we have this interest to hear what's going on. What's the discussion? So those things that do not fulfill us spiritually are what's being referred to in this verse. Shula atripnuma. It means little. Shula means little. And atripnuma means to satiate. So when we're hungry, we sit down. Mom says, okay, it's time for dinner. We'll come in, we sit down, oh, I'm so hungry, I had a hard day at school, rough day playing around, you know, that bicycle ride home was so, I'm really starved. And we eat, and that meal just, oh, Mom, that was so good. Thank you so much. Just a little side note, my wife and I are celebrating our anniversary today. We've been married for way too long to remember. And so, knowing I had a busy day today, she made some really wonderful French toast that she makes for me for breakfast yesterday. Those of you that have not experienced my wife's French toast, I feel very sorry for you. With a homemade apple sauce poured on it, with maple syrup in it, and some whipped cream on top. Very, very tasty. And when I was through eating that, oh, I was satiated. Dear, would you like another piece? No, I have nowhere to put it. I might stick in my ear or something, put it in my pocket for later, but no, my stomach's, I'm satiated. This is what we look for when we have topics of conversation. But Prabhupada says these mundane things, no, shula, very little satiation. They're going to do very little to make you feel satisfied and full. But the topics spoken about by Vidura are the topics that he heard directly from Vyasadeva. Now, we know Vyasadeva is an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. So how could the topics that Vyasadeva spoke not be satisfying? I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense. He's an incarnation of Krishna. Prabhupada explains that not all incarnations of the Lord are for spreading pure love of God. Now, that's a challenging point to our, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, your tiny pea brain, you cannot understand. For instance, if we look at Lord Buddha, Prabhupada addresses this in one class on the Bhagavad Gita in 1974. He says, people may question that Lord Buddha is accepted as an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Then why did he preach the atheistic philosophy? He preached that there is no God. But there was a necessity at the time. Why? This is explained by Jayadev Goswami. At that time, people were killing animals like anything in the name of sacrifice. And in the Vedas, there are prescriptions for performing a jugga, and one can offer an animal into the fire. Some juggas this is done, not all, he says. And the goal would be that that animal then comes out in a newer, youthful form. You can imagine myself and Raghunath and Panditji sitting out here, and we bring one animal and put it into the fire, an old cow, and then a new baby cow comes out. I don't think our mantras are that potent yet. So Prabhupada explains. So this was being done not for that purpose, but for simply slaughtering the animals so they could eat the flesh. And Prabhupada says, anyway, Vedic injunction is there. It was a path practice. So when Lord Buddha started his nonviolent movement, Ahimsa Paramo Dharmo, the Vedic scholars approached him and said, how can you prescribe ahimsa? It's sanctioned in the Vedas that we can kill the animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha said, I do not care for your Vedas. Therefore, he's considered an atheist. Anyone who doesn't accept the Vedas is technically called an atheist. So this is an incarnation of the Lord. But of course, there's a larger picture. When we study the pastimes of Buddha, we understand all this. But his purpose was to stop the killing of the poor animals. So no, forget the Vedas. Just do nonviolence instead. So Prabhupada notes in the beginning of this purport that we're studying today, because people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled many books, such as the Puranas and the Mahabharata. And these books are reading matter for the mass of people. However, we should understand that these are not just mundane histories, but they're meant for, as Prabhupada says here, they are compiled with the view of reviving the God consciousness of general people who have now forgotten it in their material life existence. So we may see that the greater Mahabharata speaks on the social intrigues of the two different families, on the cultural circumstances going on in the world at that time, on the political exchanges between the different parties involved. But if one digs deep into it, they find the Bhagavad Gita. And this Krishna uses to give the very practical instructions. So Mahabharata may be a story of, as Prabhupada says here, histories of the world and political and social circumstances. But within it, we find the Bhagavad Gita, which is meant to lift us out of our conditioned life. True story here. From my childhood, I've been interested in histories. I always studied histories. When I was a young man, I was very deep into the histories of the G-Men and the gangsters of the 1940s. Legs Diamond, Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, and their nemesis, Elliot Ness and his G-Men. These were the government agents that did what they could to bring these men down. And I knew all their histories, where they were born, what they did, their good and bad, all these different things. And then I graduated from that into learning about the lives of all the great composers, the classical composers. I can tell you histories about Haydn and Brahms and Beethoven, all these different things. But this interest in history and biographies was fully satiated when I began to study and speak about the lives of our Vaishnavacharyas. So a tendency towards something is there, and when it's dovetailed, as Prabhupada says here, into Krishna consciousness, it becomes complete. So I don't have to study any of these other topics anymore. I have the lives of the Vaishnavacharyas, which is very fulfilling. Hopefully some of you are fulfilled by hearing those. So the idea of Vyasadeva was that histories would bring one through the understanding of social division, through the understanding of social dealings, through the understanding of social etiquette, things that were so nicely and eloquently and maturely spoken about yesterday by Hansarupa, such a challenging verse, and he handled it very well. And by bypassing all this, working through them, and presenting Krishna Katha, one then comes to the level of developing love for God. And that is, after all, why we're doing everything we're doing. Not just because, okay, we're supposed to do it. Not just because, okay, I took a vow, I have to fulfill a vow. Yes, all those things are there. But the purpose is to develop love for God. Otherwise, it's just so many different activities. Prema Pumarta Mohan. That the goal of life is to develop prema, love for God. So this is the purpose of all of these different topics being discussed here. Now, Vidura gives us a look forward to desire, to a hope that we can want to achieve, and that is being fully satiated with the knowledge of mundane social and political topics and having no more interest in them. So this verse yesterday described all the different divisions of society and a couple of verses before that and the different levels and hierarchies and this, that, and the other. And Vidura's like, okay, enough, enough, enough. Can we get to some Krishna Katha? Now, Vyasadeva had a reason and a necessity to present all that, but Vidura's prompting to go further, just like in the conversations between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. When Mahaprabhu was living in Puri and planning to visit South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came and said, when you go to South India, visit Ramananda Roy. He's a very, very high-level devotee. You should have discussions with him. So Lord Chaitanya asked him different questions. And Ramananda Roy would answer. And he started out very basic. You know, what is the division of human society? What is it? That, 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 that. You can read this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so wonderful. And ultimately, he asked him, how does one develop love for God? And every time Ramananda Roy would give some socially basic, no, give me more. Come on, give me more. You got more, right? You sit down at lunchtime with your friend and you see he's got a box of cookies that mom packed in there. Okay, could I have a cookie? Okay, I'll give you a half a cookie. No, come on, you got a whole bunch. Give me more. I'll give you a half a cookie. No, give me a whole cookie. Come on, you got a whole bunch of cookies. Give me more. Or when Giriraj was being given his feast at Govardhan Puja, the residents of Vrindavan and Govardhan, they brought everything, mountains. Imagine a stack of chapatis like this. Now imagine 100 stacks of chapatis like that. And pots of curds and sweets and subjis and dals and rice and glubjamins and more glubjamins. And Giriraj ate everything. And then what did he say to the residents? What did he say? Anior, Anior, bring me more. Come on, give me more. You've got more. Come on, give me more. So in the same way, Vidura is saying, I want to be full. I'm already fully satiated with all this mundane social stuff. Give me something more. Just imagine, if you can, having no more interest in NPR, Fox News, CNN, Amazon Music, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever your choice of distraction is. Blah, 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 all these different things. No more, and so, okay, I'm past that. Please, just give me Krishna Katha. What a wonderful position to be in. All I want to do is talk about Krishna. Now, granted, we're not there. We're striving to be there under the directions of Srila Prabhupada and the Association of Devotees. But the clear question we can ask ourselves is, how do I get there? Okay, that's a nice goal. Somebody says, I want to go to Chicago. Okay, well, how do I get there? Well, you get on a plane. Well, which plane? You can get on any plane. No, you've got to get on the specific plane going to Chicago, or you may end up in Alaska or in Denver. So you got to get on the plane under the right directions, going to the right place. So Vidura tells us what that goal is, and he tells us how to get there. Vidura wanted to hear everything from Maitreya, and so he inquired from him. But he desired that all the topics be in relationship to Krishna. So this is, he made a stipulation there, you know. A fire is never satiated in its consumption of firewoods. Just so a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. Shastra, the one thing we will find when we read the Shastra over and over again, there's always a caveat. A caveat means yes, but. A caveat is that little footnote that the lawyer puts down. This and this and this, therefore. So the caveat here, I want to hear everything from you, but I want them all to be in relationship to Krishna. If someone sits down here at the Srimad Bhagavatam platform and begins speaking political ideas or social views or commenting on the status of this, that, and, you know, sometimes people mistakenly use this honored seat that we're given the opportunity to sit on to air grievances. No, this is not Krishna Katha. This is not the topic of Bhagavatam. The topic of Bhagavatam is to bring us closer to Krishna. So only topics in relationship to Krishna. Now, it's a good thing to regularly look at ourselves through an analytical lens. I'm sure in science class that, you know, you've got a process where you're given a little glass plate. What is it called?
So many different glass plates.
Yeah, okay. And something's on it and you put it in the microscope and you look at it through an analytical lens. That microscope is that lens which will analyze and blow up and allow you to examine what's underneath that microscope. So you may see, sometimes they take a snowflake and you can see them magnified up, or, you know, take a little piece of hair or whatever it is that gets done. I've been in science class in a lot of years, so you all have. So, and you look at that and it gives you an analysis of what it is. In the same way, we should analyze our own devotional service. Not for the sake of comparing myself to others. Well, he's doing that, I want to do this, he's here, I'm there, he, you know, not from that analysis of, you know, looking at, you know, some placement, but for the sake of understanding, how much am I advancing? Or how much am I not advancing? How much am I holding on to things that will hold me back, and how much am I letting those things go? There's a wonderful lecture on the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, that Prabhupada gave in 1972. And he says, so therefore, the most important thing is to make advancement in devotional service, to increase the appetite for hearing. Vishvakshena katashuya nat paya dayad ratim katashuratim. Rati. Rati means to hear shravanam. So this is the test we can give ourselves, Prabhupada says, that anyone who is supposed to be advancing in devotional service, in bhakti yoga, the test will be how much they are awakening their intense desire for hearing about Krishna. That is the test. And then Prabhupada repeats, that is the test. Now, you're sitting in your math class, and your teacher suddenly says, okay, pop quiz. Oh, every student's least favorite words from the teacher. Recess, okay, I like that. Time to go home, okay, I like that. Pop quiz, oh, nobody likes that. So the pop quiz on math. And maybe you've paid attention, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've studied, maybe you haven't. But now it's going to be found out, what did you learn? And you're going to submit your pop quiz answers. The teacher's going to grade them and give them back to you. Okay, you got a D, you got a B, you got an F, like that. And then you're going to know, where do I stand in my need to hear better, to learn more, to study better? So we have to do the same thing in the process of devotional service. We have to do the same thing. We have to understand, where am I in my advancement? There's a real nice bhajan done by God Brother mine, Krishna Premadas, and he samples into that kirtan Prabhupada's famous statement, don't waste time, don't speak nonsense. Some of you may be familiar with that. His kirtans are very, very good. So we should embrace that idea, not wasting time. We have so much amazing technology available to us in these times that we can strive to always hear about Krishna and fulfill that. Then, as Prabhupada says, we'll be able to be regularly transcendentalizing our activities. I remember back in the early days of ISKCON, before we had all this kind of technology, before we had, you know, iPhones that are connected to our hearing aids and we can play music and kirtan and conversation all the time, or before we could just, you know, I mean, imagine everyone of Srila Prabhupada's books in this little thing here. I mean, that's really quite incredible, you know. So before all of this, we would always have to carry a physical book with us. In the car, driving to the Sankirtan spot, on the subway, going to the preaching engagement, you would see the serious devotees always had a book. Because they had long ago finished their japa. They all got up at Mangalarti and completed all their rounds during the Mangalarti japa periods. And then they would get the books and read all the time. Different verses. Or mantra cards. Sloka cards, as we called them back then. I still have my original sloka cards that stack about this tall. You get your rounds all finished, and then before Guru Puja, you'd go somewhere quiet and sit down and chant all your slokas. You know, just bum, 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 bum. Run through your slokas. So not a moment was wasted. And by that type of eagerness, by that type of application, we were able to transcendentalize ourselves. Because we're all coming from the same place, the same material place. All of us, doesn't matter how old or how young we are, whether it's the students in Banner or whether it's us old guys sitting around here in Bhagavatam, we're all coming from the same material circumstance. But by taking an opportunity to strive to hear about Krishna, we can satisfy ourselves. As Prabhupada says, and we can transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities are dovetailed with Krishna Katha. Now, that may be very easy in some worldly activities to dovetail, and in others it might be a bit harder. In the in the vritani, or the occupational responsibility I have, I sell a product which is not very well spoken of in polite circles, but is very much a necessity in our physical body. So how to dovetail that? Because devotees come in all the time. So you see devotees and immediately some conversation about Krishna is there. You may be executing your particular worldly activity, but some conversation about Krishna is there. This is the benefit of a social structure that is Krishna conscious. You go to see your lawyer and you have to discuss your immigration papers, or you have to discuss your legal lease on purchasing property. But if that lawyer is a devotee, then also you can know that you're going to get some Krishna Katha there. You can have a repairman come in to do some repairs on your home. with this very cold weather, suppose your pipes break. Okay, the pipes are broken, so now what to do? All right, you have to call a plumber. So if that plumber is a devotee, then you can be guaranteed that he's going to give the analogy of bringing the water into your home uninterrupted to bringing our flow to Krishna uninterrupted, like this. So in this way, whatever our vratani, whatever our occupational activity is, we can Krishnaize it by bringing Krishna consciousness into it, by relating it to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Topics spoken by the Lord or topics spoken about the Lord. Both are equally satisfying. Both are equally good. Hearing Krishna's direct words and hearing Krishna's pastimes from those who are speaking about Krishna's pastimes. Both of these can purify the consciousness of the living entity. As Prabhupada says, transform mundane things into spiritual identity. Trust me, there's nothing more mundane than my mind. And it can be transformed, even my mind can be transformed into spiritual energy by the adding of Krishna Katha. Now, the conclusion to this purport, Prabhupada makes a very important statement. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. Such a powerful statement. Lord Chaitanya is the direct personality of Godhead, appearing, as we were discussing, different incarnations. This incarnation is definitely about giving us love of God. So Lord Chaitanya appears for that purpose, and he encourages those that are his followers. You also share this Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we see devotees going everywhere. I mean, so many different countries have been blessed by the presence of Prabhupada's personal attention or by Prabhupada's representatives going, and the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples, of his disciples, going and preaching Krishna consciousness in every nook and cranny, every village, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says. And how does it get preached? Without discrimination. Now, yesterday, the verse was very challenging. One could have seen so much discrimination in there. But when one sees things on the spiritual platform, they give no discrimination. Ram Roy and his amazing Harinam party in New York, in this cold, cold weather, they're going out into the subways and chanting for everyone's benefit. Not just a select few, or not just only those that come to the temple, or not just only those that have a Brahmin set, nothing like that. Everyone gets the holy name. Under great difficulty, they do so. Those of you that may not be familiar with New York, I lived there a big chunk of my life. The subways are not the most pleasant place, and they're not heated. And it's cold down there. But they go and they sit up and they chant the holy name like this. So no discrimination, just giving out the holy name randomly. Why? Because of the transcendental value of that Krishna Katha. The transcendental value. There's a lot of talk about value and wealth. I heard something the other day that said that the five wealthiest men in the world, that their income level, their wealth level increased by 114% over the last 2 years. So there's a great interest. Oh, how did they do that? I want to do that also. I should try and do that. If I had that much money, I could do A, B, C, D, E. But the value of Krishna Katha is way beyond that, because it's a transcendental value. Transcendental value meaning that it's not going away. What is it? Bhagavad Gita says, even a little advancement on this path. So you can have 1 million, you can have 1 billion, you can have $1 trillion. At the time of death, you have nothing. Nada. Now your descendants, your associates, they may build a very big monument to you. And they may put you in there, and they may even cover that monument with gold and silver, but you're getting nothing. You're dead. You're gone. And it's just some ashes or some dead body that's in there. So there's no value to that wealth. But the transcendental value of Krishna Katha is with one eternally, because it relates to the spirit soul. And it can purify one from any material contamination. And what is that material contamination? Humble masking, identifying that I am this body. that I am this particular race or this particular country or this particular family, identifying in this way only with the body, not with the transcendental nature and value of the body. And all of this can be done by enthusiastically speaking Krishna Katha. As Lord Chaitanya says, to preach this Krishna Katha all over the world. And sometimes the start of that preaching, without any discrimination, is by preaching to ourselves, by reminding ourselves of this transcendental topic, by reminding ourselves of the necessity to sit and read regularly, to chant, to engage in kirtan. This new program we've got here of the six-hour kirtan once a month, very, very nice program. You know, the big Thanksgiving Festival of the Holy Name, we do 3 days in a row. That's so wonderful. Not everybody can devote to three. Actually, it's practically expanded to 5 days. But 6 hours, okay, anybody can give 6 hours. Yeah, all right, good. So these different types of programs are there to spiritualize our own efforts. What to speak of them going out and taking that and sharing it in the mood of Lord Chaitanya with others. So this is what Vidura is saying in this verse. He says, okay, I understand all of these mundane social and higher and lower statuses. Okay, all that's there, but I want something more. It's almost like the exact words of Lord Chaitanya to Ramananda Roy. Give me something more. If you got anything higher. Anyway, we're looking for that higher taste. And even we see Vidura, as far back as this history goes, was looking for that higher taste. So this is the encouragement that we can take from this particular verse and from the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, but this chapter really is setting the standard for us, you know, what is the conversation between the student and the spiritual master. One doesn't come to the guru and ask for all these mundane directions. No, one comes and understands how to become more Krishna conscious, and this is the benefit of association. This is the benefit of taking initiation. This is the benefit of placing ourselves regularly into the process of Krishna consciousness. So we'll finish there, kind of timely. Any questions or comments or corrections, chastisements, being thrown out, whatever. Hold on, Mother Rigatma gonna let me set my hearing aids for Vine. There we go. Okay, yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. How do we self-analyze? I'm just reviewing. We self-analyze or do a pop quiz on ourselves by seeing how we are increasing our taste for hearing transcendental topics?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Prabhupada uses three different lectures where Prabhupada speaks about this particular topic. This one right here, of course, he says, have we increased our appetite for hearing? That's the first thing. Have we given up our envy of others? That's the second thing. And the third one, I didn't note them all three down, I just took the first one. The third one was, I pulled this up on Vanipedia and it listed them very clearly, Prabhupada, from different lectures. But the main one we see here is, are we increasing our appetite for hearing the pastimes of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Because the pure devotee, that's all they want to do. As it says here, as fire is never satiated in its consumption of firewood, so a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. So are we satisfied in that way? You know, are we wanting to hear more and more and more and more? This is how we can tell if we're advancing. And if we're not, then okay, what am I doing instead? What is the block? What is the obstacle that I need to overcome? Yeah.
And regarding the point of do we envy others? I mean, how are we reducing our envy of others?
Uh-huh.
How do you analyze that for yourself?
I didn't touch on that subject in the purport in my class, although Prabhupada does speak on that as a symptom of one's advancement. I'd have to reread that and give it some thought. But in general, if we look at others and think, oh, they're getting to serve, or they're getting this opportunity, or they have this circumstance, why don't I have that? That's envy.
Okay.
Yeah, so we need to give that kind of mentality up.
And what evening of the month do we have the 6-hour kirtan here?
You'd have to look on the newsletter. I think it's on the 20th.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's the last Saturday of every month?
I don't organize it. I'm not sure. You'd have to check the newsletter when they announce it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent should a devotee keep in touch with the news and, you know, to be aware of what is going on in the world?
To the extent that it doesn't interfere with their being Krishna conscious. We'll get to you, Soma. Yes, Madhavati.
Quick thing. So, is keeping, we were talking about keeping in touch about the world. So sometimes we want to keep up what's happening in the devotee world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the considered prajalpa or?
Well, the activities of the devotees are Krishna conscious. So if we're talking about ISKCON World News or Dandabats, things like that, these are sites that spread the glories of what the devotees are doing. If you look at Dandabats, you can listen to any one of 10 different Bhagavatam classes right off the front page. Or if you look at ISKCON News, you can find out what's going on with different devotee preaching projects all over the world. That type of stuff is not detrimental.
What about who is getting married and who has so many kids and what work they're doing and et cetera.
That's always nice to know the lives of the devotees, mm-hmm. but you know, we want to always go further and further and further. Yeah. Okay. I think you're up somewhere. This isn't going to be stump the chump, is it?
The first thing is about, you know, the pop quiz. One of the other things Srila Prabhupada...
A little closer with the mic.
Srila Prabhupada would say is you can test your how much you're advancing by how much you're losing your desire for material sense gratification.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I was just listening to a lecture that Srila Prabhupada... That's actually a room conversation in New Vrindavan.
Mm.
I was there, but it's amazing how much I forget when I go back and listen to these lectures. And he was talking about how preaching without discrimination, he said, samsara dava anada lila loka, you have to become just like a rain cloud and distribute it everywhere. And he said, the rain cloud, it will give rain, you know, on the field where it needs it, or on a rock, or an ocean, or on a saintly person, or on a crooked person. It doesn't discriminate, it just distributes it like that. And he said, and where does the rain cloud get its water? It gets it from the ocean. So we have to get our Krishna Katha from the ocean, Krishna, and then we can distribute it.
I was just reading, just yesterday as a matter of fact, that this is the same argument that Krishna used with Nanda Maharaj as they were preparing for the Indrajunga. And he asked Ananda Baba, he said, so what's going on here? I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Ananda Baba said, well, we're going to worship Indra because all the rain comes from him. And Krishna said, no. The rain, it goes everywhere. It goes in the clouds. I mean, it goes on the mountains. It goes on the fields. It goes in the lakes. It goes where it's not even needed. So he's got nothing to do with it. So yeah, you mentioned how you were in that room conversation and had forgotten so much. There's a series of pictures of Srila Prabhupada. I believe it's the Detroit airport he's departing from. And I am sitting, well, I'm sitting closer than any, I'm half the distance from here to there from Prabhupada. And I have absolutely no mental remembrance of that place and time of being there. Now, I remember a lot of my association with Prabhupada, as limited as it was, but that particular thing, I can't put a memory to it at all. But clearly I was there, the picture's right there. I could reach out and touch Prabhupada, I was so close. So yeah, sometimes, you know, we have to refresh what we have heard or experienced, and this is the benefit of this kind of technology we have. Prabhupadvani.com or .org, I forget which it is. And it's a resource of all of Prabhupada's lectures and room conversations and morning walks, and we can just listen to it endlessly. And I like going back and listening to ones that I know I was there in the audience, and, oh, I didn't remember that. Or listen to them because I don't remember them at all the first time around. So this is one of the great benefits of this age of technology. It has its downsides for sure, but as an aspiring transcendentalist looking to absorb ourselves, as this verse says in Krishna Katha, it's a great resource for us. Yes, Prabhu.
Excuse me. Oh, can I just say?
Okay, I don't know how I got over there, but whatever.
Regarding Soma's contribution, it made me think of that nice pastime where Krishna says to Narada, I have appeared to you only once just to increase your hankering for me.
Mm.
For the more that you hanker for me, the more your desire for material enjoyment will cease.
Mm. Prabhu here has a question. Yeah, thank you, Commentor.
So, Hare Krishna, thank you so much for this class and all that you've shared and all the questions and discussion. Something that I'm coming to, I think, something that I'm coming to appreciate about Krishna consciousness, about what Prabhupada has said, what he has shared with us, is that there is complexity, at least that's how I'm perceiving it, in that sometimes things are said and it's like a yes and where I'm going with this is like I'm hearing this word indiscriminately. And when I hear that, I mostly think of Harinam Sankirtan, like the chanting the glories of, like, you know, the Maha Mantra. And I also think of like something that I think Prabhupada has spoken quite a bit about, time, place, and circumstance. And then I also think about when he's shared, like, talking about intelligence. I think he has said something like, and I hate to even say it because I don't know that I can say it exactly as he did, intelligence is when someone can, like, speak in such a way that the person that is hearing comes closer to Krishna. And so, like, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I'm just thinking about this, and I'm wondering if you have any comments about that, because like I'm hearing indiscriminately, but I'm also thinking of when I've heard Prabhupada say, time, place, and circumstance, and then I'm also thinking about how we, like, someone can maybe have a desire to share Krishna, but they're not really maybe tuned in to the person that they're speaking to, and maybe they're thinking indiscriminately, but they're not maybe sharing so intelligently such that that person comes closer. Do you have any comment?
Yeah, the opportunity for preaching has to be coupled with time, place, and circumstance. I was seeing a picture recently of the days when I was going to Woodstock and preaching there, and I would spend 4 to 6 hours a day sitting in the question and answer booth with a bunch of, to be polite, drunk concert goers, and I would just fire full on. Full tilt. Now, in an assembly of higher class gentlemen, one might present things with a little more finesse or a little more politely. So the way that one interacts is going to depend on the audience one's speaking to. That's time, place, and circumstance, and that's using one's intelligence in giving Krishna consciousness. Indiscriminately means that we always give Krishna consciousness. Time, place, and circumstance means we give it according to the situation that we're in. I don't bother to do Harinam in the plumbing department at Lowe's. I don't think it would benefit my job security. And that's using my intelligence on presenting Krishna consciousness in that situation just by my example of being a devotee. So yeah, those three things have to be there in our preaching, and it's very practical to analyze things from that point of view. How can I indiscriminately preach using time, place, and circumstance and intelligently presenting Krishna consciousness to this audience? Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. It's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.